Just like I was in the garden and told the Father, not my will, but yours be done. Embrace my will. Wrap your mind around my will. Prepare your heart to do my will. For I have written my words on your hearts. I have given you my spirit to lead, guide, and direct and bring you into all truth. Follow him. He'll show you the way. He'll help you do and become and have what I say. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're going to shift gears a little bit tonight. And I kind of felt like God wanted to do something different. And in my prayer time this morning, which was mobile, these two words came to my heart: active faith. How many have active faith? Right? Active faith releases the blessing, or activates the blessing, I should say. Active faith activates the blessing. What is active faith? I'm so glad that you asked. All right? It does five things. All right? It forms a belief. All right? When you hear the word of God, what comes to your heart? Faith. Okay? In other words, it forms a belief in you. It's important that you form right beliefs based on truth. Okay? So, active faith, it forms beliefs. Then, it acts on those beliefs. That's the active part. Right? It acts out what it believes. Okay? And then the third thing it does is your beliefs are strengthened. Okay? It's one thing to have beliefs, but then you need to strengthen those beliefs. All right? You need to keep them strong. Faith can grow. We're going to get into that. So you strengthen your beliefs. You reinforce it. You support it. You increase it. You improve it. How many has changed their beliefs over years? You know, there were things that I used to believe in crazy. Like, my gosh, I actually believe that? Then the fourth thing that active faith is going to do, it's going to compel you to share your beliefs. See, when you have strong beliefs in God, in the truth, it'll make you want to share those beliefs with others. See? Active faith will compel you to share what you believe. And then finally, your beliefs then become your lifestyle. And you maintain what you believe over a period of time, years. You know, there was a song, secular song, I don't know who sang it, but they said, don't stop believing. Right? How long should you believe God until you leave this earth? Okay? Go with me to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. See, when you hear God's word, it forms, so it gives you a choice. You can have what God said, you can do what God said, you can be what God said. Okay? Now, some of us, we form beliefs quickly. And then there are some that it may take a little bit longer to form a belief. Okay? We're going to see that. All right? Romans chapter 10. And let's start with verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You know, if you don't believe in God, it's very hard to call on him. Right? Hey, whoever is up there, hey, you, in the stars, you know? How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Did you know you can't believe what you haven't heard? In order for you to believe it, you have to hear it. And how shall they hear without a preacher? Someone who proclaims the truth to form your belief. Do angels form your belief? No. Because we're going to see that God did not appoint angels to proclaim the gospel. He appointed us. Everybody say, I have been appointed to proclaim the gospel. Every one of us, no, you don't have to say that, I'm sorry. Every one of us has been enlisted by God to not only live his story, but to share his story. You share it by the words you say and the actions you do. Okay? Verse 15. How shall they preach except they be sent? There's a lot of people who went and a lot than others who were sent. Some went and some were sent. There's a difference. Okay? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring good tidings. Look at your neighbor and say, man, you got some good looking feet. Okay? Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. You know, there are people who hear the gospel, they hear the good news, and for whatever reason, they choose not to believe it. They choose not to activate faith in what they heard. Okay? Verse 17, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The word of God is the only substance in the universe that can create faith, that can give you faith. Notice it didn't say faith comes by feelings. It didn't say faith comes by opinions. Faith does not come by experience. Faith does not come by prayer. You can't pray for faith? No. You got to hear the word of God to have faith. Okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. Did you know that we have the ability today to send faith across the world through technology? All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we're going to see an example of someone who formed a belief. And that belief that they formed made the difference in their life. Okay? Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, stop right there. Who is Jesus? He is the Word. He's the Word made flesh. Okay? Everywhere where Jesus went, the word was going forth. All right? Why did Jesus show up into Capernaum? He wanted to form beliefs in people. He wanted them to have active faith in him. They can't go unless someone is sent, right? Who sent Jesus? God. He sent him into all the world, didn't he? He sent him to save us from our sins. He was sent. He was ordained by God. Jesus entered into Capernaum, and there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him or pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant lies at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. Why did the centurion come to Jesus? There must have been some things that he heard about Jesus that caused him to believe that Jesus could heal. He had to have heard something. He had to have heard of a testimony or someone that got healed by Jesus, and when Jesus came, he went to him. See, if you want active faith, you've got to actively pursue the source. He went to him. And Jesus said unto him, once again, who's talking here? The Word. I will come and heal him. Is it the Word's will to heal? Yes, because the Word was declaring what he came to do. Say, it is God's will to heal. Jesus simply said, I will come and heal him. Notice Jesus didn't ask what kind of person his servant was. Because someone was demonstrating faith in him. The centurion was activating his faith to get a miracle, to receive a blessing. I will come and heal him. If you ask Jesus for healing, what's he going to say to you? He's going to say yes. He's going to say, I will heal you. It is God's will to heal you. That is the truth. That's what the Word says. The Word said it himself. Say, I believe in healing. Then verse 8, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. Should you let unworthiness stop you from receiving from the truth? Listen, unworthiness is a feeling. Faith is a fact. We're not to go by our feelings. Just because you don't feel like you deserve what Jesus is offering, that doesn't mean you shouldn't receive it. You have to use your faith to supersede your feelings. He felt unworthy for Jesus to come to his house. But that didn't stop him from receiving, because he had active faith. But, see, he didn't stay in the unworthiness. He moved on. He put unworthiness aside, and he's about to express his belief system. He's about to express the belief that was formed in his heart. But, speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. He made this statement with a persuasion, with an assurance, with a confidence, with a conviction. Yes, I don't feel worthy, but speak the word only. This centurion had formed a belief about the Word of God. His belief was the Word of God has the final authority in any matter of life. That was the belief that he formed. He got that belief from hearing things about Jesus. He had to have. Because faith comes by what? And hearing what? The Word of God. He must have heard the Word about healing. Okay? I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. This is verse 9. I say to this man, go, and he goes. To the other, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. So his understanding of authority caused him to receive the power of the Word. He recognized that the Word was the final authority. When Jesus heard it, by the way, this is recorded by God. God put this in here for you and I to read, to gain information and knowledge and insight and understanding about. When Jesus heard it, what did he do? He marveled. It's like, whoa. That is a powerful belief that you have formed. How did we know what the centurion believed? How do we know what he believed? He what? He spoke it. He said it. Is saying an action. He is activating the faith that he believed. Faith requires an action. Faith is not passive. If you're a passive Christian, then miracles will pass you by. You've got to be active. Amen? You know, when an athlete is injured, they are taken off of active duty until the injury heals, or they're able to perform or function in their sport, whatever it is, right? They're placed on an inactive list. They cannot play the sport that they were designed to play because of an injury, and they're on this list. But to get off this list, they have to be healed or recovered. But they're considered inactive. They can't participate. Okay? I have not found so great faith in all Israel. Think about that. This centurion had formed a belief in a truth that was so strong that brought healing to his servant. He did nothing else but come to Jesus and believe what he said. Because he said, only speak the word. And the word that Jesus spoke, the centurion believed it. Verse 13. Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way. As you have what? Believed. So be it unto you. And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. The centurion used his faith for his servant. He had formed such a belief that he was fully convinced, fully persuaded that when Jesus said, go your way, he could walk away knowing that what he requested was going to happen. That's how strong you have to form your belief. You can't walk away on weak faith. would you, let me ask you this question. How would you reinforce something you believe? Any ideas? Act on it? Well, act on it, you're going to be carrying it out. What do you need to reinforce your belief? Watch this. Just think, picture me with 10 Bibles, okay? What am I doing? Okay, let's say the river is at flood stage, right? And the water starts coming over the edge. What do towns do that are near the river? They reinforce the riverbanks with sandbags. They put sandbags until the water is stayed. The way you reinforce your belief is to keep getting scriptures that say the same thing about what you believe. The Bible does not say how many things the centurion heard about healing. But he had reinforced and fortified his belief so strong that he was fully persuaded that it wasn't going to go any other way but than the way that he requested. Go with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I want to show you something here. See, part of our purpose here at VCF is to create a strong body of believers. How do we make strong believers? We keep reinforcing them with the Word. With the Word. When there's a crack, we fill it up with the Word. When there's a break, we fill it up with the Word. When there's something happen, we fill it up with the Word. We keep reinforcing it with the Word. With the Word. And you become strong by reinforcing it. You continue to add support to your belief. Acts chapter 16, verses 4 and 5. This was Paul, and he took Timothy with him. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased. Do you know that Paul, when he would go to a city initially, he would establish their faith. But then he would come back to the city and he would strengthen the faith that he established. He would reinforce the truth that he had said to them originally so that it could make them strong. All right? The New King James says the churches were strengthened in the faith. Faith is like a muscle. Everybody hold up your muscles. Yeah. Do your muscles have the ability to grow? How do you make a muscle grow? I have been making muscles grow. My lovely wife got me connected with her trainer. And this is what, is this my third week? Or second? I don't know. But I've been going 3 days a week. I went this morning at 5 a.m. And I'm making muscles grow. I'm doing exercises. Sometimes my body doesn't like it, but I make my body do it. Why? Because I'm reinforcing something. That's another way to reinforce something is repetition. Right? Anybody that, how many times have you went over ABCs in school? Why do you keep going over ABCs in school? because the teachers want you to be so strong in the alphabet. They keep going over it, and they're reinforcing truth to make you strong in it. Okay? Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Look at verse 19. This is talking about Abraham. It says, not being weak in faith. Say, not weak in faith. See, too many times we try to receive from God without reinforcing our faith or what we believe about what He's offering. And just like when your body is weak, it can't do what it normally does. How many has ever been, your body's been weak or weakened, and you just can't do what you normally do, right? You ever had a weakened state in your body? It hinders you from doing what you normally could do. And Abraham, he had to become a father when he was 100. Everybody say 100. How many 100-year-old fathers do you know with a newborn? But God gave him a word. You're going to be a father of many nations. How many times did God have to strengthen that word in Abraham? All the time. How many times did God have to show Abraham the stars and the sand? Several times. Every time he saw the stars in the sand, he was strengthening the belief. There was a time when Abraham said, Lord, what are you going to give me seeing I go childless? And God said, come here. He said, look up. You see the stars? Yes, I do. Your descendants are going to be like the stars. Okay. Look at the sand. You see the sand? Yes. Your descendants are going to be like the sand. Spiritual descendants, natural descendants. But every time Abraham looked at the stars and the sand, his belief was being strengthened that he was going to be a father. Until finally, his belief got strong that him and Sarah, they had Isaac. Verse 19, not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Listen, your body does not make your faith strong. What makes your faith strong? It's your heart. It's inside. Okay? Just because your body is not working right, you do not consult your body for healing. What do you consult for healing? The word. You know? Let's just say I had a big lump on my elbow. Okay, body. No, you don't check your body. You check the word, and you go by what the word says. You don't go by what your body says. How do you feel today? Oh, I am healed by his stripes in Jesus' name. You may not feel healed, but you're choosing to bypass your feelings and do what he said. Okay? He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Guess what? Unbelief weakens faith. Notice it's unbelief. These shoes that I have on, they have laces. And right now they're tied. But if my lace gets unraveled, it's called what? Untied, isn't it? And if I don't want to trip over my shoes, then I've got to tie my laces. Okay? So, unbelief means you believe, but it got unraveled. Because you were checking things that does not reinforce your belief. Well, I feel depressed. Well, you have a choice. I mean, talking about your depression won't change it. What will change it, though? Talking about the Word. But notice this last phrase, okay? He did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in what? And what did he do? What was he doing? Giving glory to God. That means he took his eyes off of his body. He took his eyes off of his circumstances. He took his eyes off everyone else, and he put them on God. And when your eyes are on God, he will strengthen your faith. Notice. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Verse 22, therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. When did he receive righteousness? When he was fully persuaded in God's ability and God's performance of it. Notice, Abraham did not have to perform it. He had to believe in the one who performs it. Abraham did not have to perform it himself. There was no way that he could have done that. All he did was he believed in the one who was going to perform it. He believed in the one who gave him the promise. He believed in the one who spoke the word. He believed in the one that it originated with. It was God's idea for him to be a father of many. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. No different than Jesus telling Peter, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. All right? Let's go to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Verse 1. We're obviously not going to get through this tonight. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius. He was a centurion. You know, something about centurions. They're good at taking orders. They're good at being leaders. Okay? He was of the band called the Italian band. Don't know what instrument he played. Maybe the bass guitar. The Italian band. I don't know. They go to Olive Garden when they're done playing. I don't know. Okay, listen to this now. He was a devout man. One that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. Alms are giving to the poor. And prayed to God always. Now, reading about Cornelius, you think, man, Cornelius has got it together, doesn't he? But do you know that Cornelius is not even born again? Watch this. He saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming to him and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he looked at him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, your prayers and your alms are come up for a memorial before God. Did you know that God listens to your prayers and looks at your giving? God watches, he listens to your prayers and he watches your giving. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. Why didn't the angel just tell him what to do? Because the angels don't preach the gospel. But the angels help you. They're ministering spirits sent forth to minister to heirs of salvation. Listen, angels will help you get connected to the right people. Go get Peter. He even gave him his address, where he was located. Verse 7, when the angel which spoke to Cornelius was departed, He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. Trusted, loyal servants. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. Let me tell you something. Cornelius did not delay in the instruction. An angel told him, go get Peter in Joppa. He sent men to Joppa to go get him immediately. You know what? He did not call a family meeting. He did not form a committee. He did not question the instruction. Why did I got to go to Joppa? I ain't got time to go to Joppa today. I got things I got to do. Listen, God's thing is more important than your things. There are times when you got to break your agenda and do what God wants. Just like if God wants to interrupt this sermon, he can anytime. So Cornelius goes and gets Peter. Peter's sitting on the housetop meditating. He's having a good time with God. God's showing him unclean animals. God tells him to rise and eat. And Peter said, I've never eaten anything unclean, Lord. I'm so godly. God said, look, what I call clean, don't call unclean. Just do what I say. Right? And so the Holy Spirit tells Peter, look, there's some men at your door. Go with them. Verse 20. Arise, go, therefore, get down and go with them, doubting nothing. Right there, God told Peter not to doubt. For I have sent them. Okay? Then Peter went down to the men which came to him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause wherefore you came? Why did you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that fears God, of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. So Peter also took some people with him. Okay? And when Peter got to Cornelius' house, the house was full of people. See, if you're gonna believe something for God, you better make preparations to receive. In other words, like this. If it hasn't rained in a couple of months and God asks you to pray for rain, bring an umbrella when you pray. Why? Don't you believe in your prayer? Yeah, you're going to be the person of faith. You're going to show up with an umbrella. Why'd you bring that umbrella? Because I'm going to pray for rain and it's going to rain. People will only bring the umbrella who believe, who have strengthened their belief, who have formed a belief in God. Okay? So Peter got there and Cornelius bowed down and worshiped Peter. And Peter said, look, I'm just a man just like you. We don't worship men. Amen? And they tell each other their story. Okay? And verse 33, Cornelius said, immediately therefore I send to you, and you have well done that you are come. Now, therefore, we are all here, present before God, to hear the things that are commanded by God. Well, you talk about a love for the word. He doesn't even know what God has in store. He's just believing and making preparations. So Peter realizes that God is not a respecter of persons. And see, the Jews thought they were of a special club. That no, they were a clique, really. Well, I'm a Jew, and Jesus was a Jew, and Jesus came to the Jews, and he's not for you. Okay? That was some of their attitude. Not all of them, but some of them. What? Cornelius was a Roman. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And Peter was a strict Jew. So Peter begins to preach. Okay? And he's telling them about Jesus, how God anointed him to heal, commanded us to preach to people, to testify that he was ordained of God. He was the judge of the quick and the dead. And verse 44, while Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. Right? As many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was also poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? What do you do when you get baptized? You proclaim faith in God. Why did God arrange this? Cornelius needed to hear the gospel. Someone needed to be sent to preach the gospel so that Cornelius could strengthen his belief, because he was missing something but didn't know it. But God knew it. But Cornelius had a heart that was hungry even for the unknown. And God gave him instruction. He obeyed it. God gave Peter an instruction. He obeyed it. God brought them together through their obedience. And Peter and Cornelius's household. Everybody say household. Everybody in the house got filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody in the house got baptized. Should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed for them to tarry certain days. Cornelius was so hungry, he said, look, you guys need to stay a couple more days. We got to hear more of this. We got to hear why. Because they were so excited to get their belief strengthened. He had formed a belief in God. But his belief was limited because he lacked knowledge. So God put him with the person who could give him the knowledge. And while he was giving him the knowledge, God said, okay, that's enough, Peter. Let me have the service now. That's when God interrupts the service. I mean, when God interrupts the service, things happen. Look at chapter 11, verse 1. And the apostles and the brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were with him, of the circumcision contended with him, saying, you went into men uncircumcised? Oh my gosh! I can't believe you did that, Peter. And you ate with them? Oh my gosh! But Peter, verse 4 of chapter 11, Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, you know, he gave them the testimony. And verse 17, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I should withstand God? Listen, don't let anybody stand in the way of your belief. Whatever God promised and you believe you can have, come and get it. You don't have to, just if people are in your way, just move them out of your way politely. Verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. Yeah, they better hold their peace. Then has God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. But he needed to hear the word so that he could believe. He needed someone to go to share the word so that they could hear, so that they could believe. Peter was sent, and the group that he spoke to believed, And they received, they didn't even know what they were going to receive. They didn't know they were going to speak in tongues. Peter didn't know they were going to speak in tongues. None of the Jews that were with Peter knew they were going to speak in tongues. But it was the belief that was formed and strengthened and acted. And Cornelius lived by that belief. He shared that belief with others. It's just an example of active faith. Amen? So how many want to activate your faith tonight? How do you activate faith? You turn your eyes upon Jesus. You call upon the name of the Lord. You open up your heart to receive. And you just let him in. And whatever he wants to do, let him do. Say this. Say, I am yours. You are mine. I'm yielded to you, Lord. Have your way in me now in Jesus' name. Thanks for watching. Now, for you guys that are here, what do you need? Everything you need is where? It's at your fingertips. It's right here. This word is alive. This word is powerful. It's a sharper, it's sharp, it's a sharp two-edged sword. It gets to the heart of the matter. Okay? For those of you that have formed a belief in God, and you've strengthened that belief by hearing what God says about it over and over and over, you're ready to receive. Amen? So whatever it is that you need from God tonight, I want you to receive it right now by faith, so that when you walk out of here tonight, you walk with it. Amen? So if you need to receive something from God tonight, I'm just going to pray for you really quick. All right? It'll take less than 5 minutes. How many believe God can do things quickly? He's a quickener, right? You came here tonight on a Wednesday, and there's things going on in your life.
So beautiful.
And you need answers? God's got the answers. God's got the power to bring it to pass.